All right, so today is Daf Chav Beis. We are on holding on Chav Aleph Amud Beis by the last line by Amar Abaye. So we're in the middle. We brought down yesterday stating that maybe the machlokas as to what we had, the case was a woman sees blood, doesn't touch her walls, her uterine walls, it just comes out through this tube. Right. So the question was, is it tamei or not? So the Gemara said that maybe that's a machlokas tanayim, and we said that the machlokas here, but chachamim, that was a case of whether you had dam in a chaticha. Is a dam in a chaticha, what's the reason why it's tar? Is it tar because it's ein noga b'basar? And if that's the case, that would be because it doesn't touch, the clump comes out with blood in the inside, so it doesn't touch the wall, so it's tar maybe because it doesn't touch, and therefore the dam from shraveris, the dam from the coming out of a tube would also be tahar. Or do we say that the reason why the dam in the chaticha is tahar, because that's not considered dam nida, that's just dam chaticha. But ruyutsuyer, that the blood, it was actually blood, it still would be tame even if it came out through the tube. And I'm going to say shfoveris is a tube, that's how I'm going to translate it. So Gemara then says, Amrabai, no, that's not necessarily true, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim. Again, Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim argue as to whether or not the dam, with the dam in the chaticha, it's tahor. What's the reason why the time in the chaticha is tahor? So Amar Abaye, maybe Mishvoferes, when it comes to the tube, kuli amalo pligi de tahora. Everyone will agree that blood that comes after the tube and therefore doesn't touch the uterine wall of the woman is going to be tahor. And Tanakama and Chamin both agree that it's tahora. So why in this? What's the machlokas here? Ki pligi the machlokas Tanakama and the Chamin is someone who sees b'chaticha. B'chaticha, when it comes to the chaticha, mar savar, I mean the Tanakhama is going to say, darka shel isha liros dam b'chaticha. This is a normal thing, to have blood come out this way. And since it's normal, the chaticha itself is going to be considered dam nida. And when the chaticha comes out, I guess, there's no chatzitza between the blood and the basar. This is normal. This is considered blood coming out, as it's normal. The chaticha becomes blood, and therefore it's tameya, and therefore that's why she's tamei. Umar savar, the chachamim are going to say, ain't darkish l'isha liros dam chaticha. This is not a normal enough occurrence, right? So any of the blood that comes out is not considered dam nida. Therefore, even if there are like these holes and crevices and stuff in this piece, it's not going to be dam tahor, and she's not going to be dam tamei, and she's going to be tahora. And Rashi says, he pligi b'chaticha. They argue with on the piece itself. V'dipali pluye. We said yesterday that it has like these rivets in it, right? The Tanakhama savar. The Tanakhama is going to hold bifsara. When it says bifsara in the pasuk, l'meute toch chaticha. It's going to come to exclude things inside the chaticha, inside this piece. Aval dam hanir b'vikayim. But the blood that's in these crevices, in these rivets, tamei. The habibsara karim vei, it's going to be tamei. The rabbanan basrai, later rabbanan savri, afilu poliploi tahora, is still going to be tahora because the ain't a dam nida. This is not considered dam nida. The ain't darker shall ish liros dam bechaticha. It's not the normal way for a woman to come out. Okay, that's a bias answer. Rava Amar Rava says I can say the machlokas differently and say the kuli alma ain't darker shall ish liros dam bechaticha. This entire piece that comes out is not normal. If it's not a normal piece, then the bottom, then it should be not tamei because it's not blood, it's not dam nida. So what's the machlokas here? So I'm Rabbi Amar the Kol Yama Ein Darka Shel Ish Liros Dam Chaticha. B'Hacha in our Brisa now, they're not arguing as to whether or not she's tamei midin nida. They're arguing as she's whether or not she's tamei. It's called Tumas Erev. I mean, just tamei for tonight and then go and don't go to mikvah. Why? What's the machlokas? Ubi Isha Tahora. They're arguing about the case where the woman is Torah, she's Torah, but whether or not the status of her uterus is considered tummy, whether there's a tummy status given to her uterus. And Rashi says, Isha Torah, to lavri iyagi, this piece that comes out, this clump, is not considered dam nida. Umiyu tipas dam mitama taharos. Any type of blood is going to be metame tohoros, a piece of truma. It's going to be metame the tohoros. Im nagabehen, if it touches, there's ha'isha, and the woman is going to be tumas erev, mishum be nagabe makor. And the woman is going to be tame because she's touching the blood inside, which is a problem because we always say it's tuma that's covered, and tuma that's covered doesn't count. He says the Krami Torah's Raya. Okay, so Gemara says Rabbanan Savre. The Rabbanan are going to Rabbi Lezer Savar Isha Torah. Rabbi Lezer holds that this woman herself is pure because the Gezeirus Hakasav is that this is not considered a Re'ia, and therefore Rabbi Savar Isha Torah. But Dam Tame Deha Asay Derech Makor. The woman is Tarmi Dim Nida, but the blood itself becomes Tame. And therefore, she is going to be considered tamei because she touched something that's tamei, but not tamei midin nida. V'rabban safri, they're going to hold isha tahora v'makor mikol matar. Not only she's tahora midam nida, she's also tahora from touching this blood that emanates because there's no tumah status given to her to her makor. Right, rabban safri, dam nami tahor. Right, so it's definitely, according to Rabbi, it has nothing to do with Nida. It's this other type of Tumah status of whether you're touching something that is, whether you're touching something that is Tumah. Excuse me a second. Okay. Fine. Next. Now that we talked about Nida, right, Nida coming out through her tube, we're going to also talk about a Balkari. So there's a difference between, we know we should have to keep in mind, and Masifta does a good job here with a nice introduction, that there's a, understand the halachas of a Balkari and a Zav. Okay, so this is all coming from the Rambam. The Rambam says a Zav is basically Shifa Zera. It's Shifa Zera that comes out because of some sickness. It's just a flow, it's not because of any sexual interaction, it's because there's some sort of sickness and it comes out. So when the zav comes out, right? When the zav comes out, there's no koshi the aver. It's just the flow that comes out. There's no taiva. There's no hana. There's no benefit that comes from it. It just comes out like, and therefore, that's the zav. And it looks one way. And shichva zera is the typical way of coming out, and it looks a little different. And the halachas are that if someone sees a zav one time, then he has the same halacha as a balkari. Balkari, if someone sees a seminal emission, a zov is the same thing if you see it one time. Right, so what happens to your tummy, and you go to mikveh that night, and then the next morning you're good to go. If you see two riyos of the zov, then you have to count shiva nikiyim. Right, if you go into the mikveh, you have to count shiva nikiyim. If you see it three times, you have to add a karba. You have to add a karba as well. Now, if you are counting your shiva nikiyim and you see a ziva during that time, a flow during that time, that messes up the whole shiva nikiyim, and you have to start counting again. Now, shichva zera itself is one of the avos hatuma. It's tava b'mago u'b'masa, and zav is also when you're zav, also any your spit, your spittle, everything else is also tamei. So, b'aymine rabba miravuna. Now, I don't know how this actually works. Haroa keri b'kesam. Someone sees keri via kesam in modern Hebrew is a toothpick, so I don't know how he translates it there.
A reed.
So he inserts a reed through his urethra, I guess. I'm not sure how.
What?
It's
like a straw.
Yeah, but he inserts it through the front of his aver, and he sees he's what?
It's painful either way.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm not sure why someone's doing it. Okay, I don't know. Right. Everyone's right. All right, well, the jokes are good. All right, we're good. Now, Haroa keri b'kesam. So it sees about keri b'kesam. Mahu, what's the din? But there was no flow. So it says, because the pasuk says, the full pasuk is, v'ish ki teitse mimenu, says it comes out from him. Shichva zera v'rachas b'mayim. So here, mimenu amarachmana. When the pasuk says mimenu, does that mean adinafik mipsaro? Until it has to come out from his bus, it has to actually come out, and it has to come out on its own. Right, below b'kesam, and not through this reed or through this I can read. O dilma hai mimenu. What does mimenu mean? Mimenu means achateitse tum asu lachutz vafil b'kesam nami. Mimenu means not tamei until the keri comes outside your body. I mean, as opposed to a nida's tamei, even if it's still internal, as long as it leaves the makor, it's still inside. Right, until the prosdor, it's still considered tamei. Here we're saying when it comes to the balkari, when it comes to the zav, it actually has to exit the body. So what is the lemur for b'saro? Is b'saro teaching me that it has to actually flow from the body itself? It can't be like extracted like with the reed? Or does it teach you the same thing? Is it teaching you that it has to actually come outside and exit? So if it teaches you the second thing, then it would be tummy. But if it teaches you that it has to come out by itself, then extracting it with the kesam is not going to create tumah. So Amar Lei, so Rav Huna responds to Rabba, Tepuk Lei, we can learn it out, Dehu Atzmo Einam Etame Ela B'chasimas Pihama. He says, wait a second, even if I don't have the Pasuk of Mimenu, right, I don't need the means of Mimenu, I can tell you that there's another reason why this isn't Tame. Why isn't Tame? Because Rabba says, the only time a carry, Balkari is Tame, is if enough carry comes out the shear of the carry is enough to basically cover the entire hole of the aver where it comes out, right? It has to be enough to stuff up the hole of the piyama, right? Rashi says, "Achi yetsim imenu kedei chasimas piyamaso." V'hacha, and in our case here, kevan dehichnis lekesam, since you stuck a reed inside, what came out is butzar leishiura kedei kesam. Whatever came out is minus the amount of what was stuck in. So it says, why is that so necessarily true? So why is that? You extracted more. It just came out on a smaller. It came out from a smaller hole. But, okay, we're going to go with Rashi. And so Rashi says, since it wasn't enough shear to come out to begin with, because you have to subtract the amount of the size of the kesam, so you don't have enough shechazera to be chatzimas piyama. So that's why it'd be tar. I don't even need the pasuk of mimenu because it's not the appropriate shear. So now Rabba goes back to him and says, wait a second. There are two different types of tumah, right? You have tumah that dependent on a shear. If tumah is dependent on a shear, that's talking about tumah's maga. But when it comes to zav and zava, when we say a woman, it's a filu roa tipas dam kirchardel. It's nothing to do with a shear. It has nothing to do with it. It's not maga. It's talking about a flow. It's a different type of tumah. So that's what he says. Lemeimra dinogeya havi. Are you telling me now that the person who sees shichas zera is tumah because of maga? Rashi says lemeimra de maga nogeya havi. It's important. Rashi midi yahave shiura. From the fact that you're giving a shear, you're giving an amount, a size. Michlal the tumas carry lav mishum riyahi. That means that you're holding that Balkari, the tumah that you see for Balkari, is not because Tam is a sighting. Elim Yishum, it's because the basar aver, the flesh of your aver, nogeya b'shichva zera yotzimenu, touches the shichva zera. And if it's touching it, you need a certain amount of size. Mishum haki b'yish yura, ketumas komagal. It's like all other things of tumas maga, needs a size. The b'yish yura, go to sheretz, nevelu, umes, di'i ri'iyah chashiva lei, if they're talking about that it's all dependent on just seeing it, on a sighting, but tumas ri'iyah lo bo yishira. A tumah dependent on a ri'iyah, on a sighting, doesn't require a shear. Da nida roi hiva lo bo yishira. Like we said, a nida is a tipas down. It's a small little thing. You don't need a shear. So why are you telling me? You're telling me, I can answer the question because it's not enough shear. Who's talking about a shear? What type of tumah are you talking about? You're telling me that the tumah of Balkari is because of a shear, maybe the tumah of maga? It's not. It's a tumah of ri'iyah. So Rashi said, looking back at Gemara, l'meimra de nogeya havi? It is a tumah of nogeya. Elameata al yistra beziva. If it's a tumah of nogeya, right, then why is it when the man is counting, he came of azov, and he's counting his the shivan akiyim, then why is it does Balkari mess up the counting? Rashi says, al yistra beziva, right, Rashi, zov she pasak. So he had a zov, let's just say he had three. He had three rias. So he has to count 7 days and bring a karban. Zov she pasak. V'hiskel limno zayin yemei sifiro. He started to count to 7 clean days. The raw carry, and he sees Balkari, the halacha is it messes up the count. Gemara says, al yistor es ninyo. It shouldn't count it. Why? Ki heichid inogim esheretz l'sos l'sfiro sivoso. What would happen if someone's a zov, and he's counting the shiva nikiyim, and he touches a sheretz? Tumas maga. That doesn't mess up his counting. So to hear you tell me it's only a tumas maga. So why does it mess up his counting? Right? Obviously, it's not tumas maga. Right? He says, Elamiyata al yistor b'ziva, the Gemara says, Allah matanya, why do they have a brisa? This is in the Torah's Kohanim on Pashas Metzora. It says, Zos Torah's Hazav, asher teitzimen ashikha zar l'tam haba. This is the Torah of the Zav. Ma ziva soseres, just like a woman who sees a flow during a shiva nikiyim upsets the entire counting, af shikha zar anami soser. Well, actually, ziva here might be, if he's a Zav, remember, there's a difference between a Zav and a Shichas Zera. So if he's a Zav and he's counting the Shiva Nikiyim, and he sees another Zav type flow, remember, it looks different, there's a whole feeling is different, that messes it up. Av Shichas Zera Nami Soser. So too, if he has Shichas Zera, it's Yesbia during that time. If he has Shichas Zera, it's going to mess it up. Why? Shichas Zera, according to you, is a Tumas Maga. It shouldn't mess it up. So Amarlei, he says, Amarlei, no, the reason why Shichva Zera messes up the counting of the Zav is Stira Hainu Taim of the Soser, the reason why it upsets the counting, the Fisha E Efsher La below Tzuchi Ziva. Because I guess when you have a seminal emission in a normal way, it's impossible that there aren't pieces of Zav that comes out as well. So if you're going to see, if you can have a seminal emission as well, which is not a Valkyrie, which is a Valkyrie, it's clearly Zav is coming out with it. So that's why it messes up, not because of the Valkyrie Shiva, because of the Zav Shiva. So Gemara says, Elamayata, if that's the case, Tistor Kol Shiva. Whoa. If you're having Zav in it, again, the Gemara keeps adding new pieces that we don't know. Right. The difference is, the halacha is, someone's counting a Shiva in a Kiyum for Zav, if he sees Balkeri, it's just that day that doesn't count, and then he continues. So if he sees on day four, he has to count tomorrow as day four. If he sees Zav, if he sees a Zav, then it messes up, he has to go back to the beginning. So if now you're telling me that every Balkeri also sees Zav, so Balkeri should mess up the entire counting, right, not just the one day. He says, El Mayata, Tistor Kol Shiva. It should mess up the entire 7 days of counting and go back to the beginning. Alama Tanya, why, if that's the case, why does the Braisa say, it says, Zos Toras Hazav, Asher Teitzah Mimenu, right? He says, Ma Zivos Oseres, Af Shechazeres Oser. Just like Zav messes it up, so to Shechazeres messes up the counting. And the Braisa continues, E Zivos Oseres Kol Shiva, Af Shechazeres Nami Soser Kol Shiva, Tamalom La Tamaba, Ein La Ba Elamasha Amar Ba Toseres Yomechad. Whatever it is, when it comes to Shifa Zera, it only messes up one day. So if you're telling me the reason why Shifa Zera upsets the counting of the Seven Shim Nakim of the Zav is because there's always Zav in the Shifa Zera, then it should upset the full counting back to day one and put it back to day one, as opposed to just messing up one day, okay, one day. So Amar Lei, he says, he responds to him, or if he responds back to him, he says, you're right. Ein Achanami. So Gzeir Sakasav, what am I supposed to do? He says, Gzeir Sakasavi. Ziva Gemura below Avra but Shifa Zera, so Sarah's called Shiva. A full-fledged Ziva that doesn't have any Shifa Zera mixed in with it, that upsets the entire counting. But Tzichtzuche Ziva, but just little pieces of Ziva, small amounts of Ziva, which are included in the Shifa Zera, the Avra but Shifa Zera, that's mixed with Shifa Zera, lo so Sarah's tell Yomecha. That doesn't mess up one day. So where do we stay in the Maskana? So the Maskana, according to Rav Huna, someone who sees Keri is not Tameh Midin Roeh. He's Toa Midin Nogeya. That's why it has a shear. He's Toa Midin Maga. And nevertheless, a Zav, which he's a Keri, messes up his counting because there's Zav inside. But Zagzer is a cuss of that. That Zav that's mixed with Keri doesn't mess up the entire counting. It only messes up one day. So according to Rav Huna, if someone sees Keri through the Kesam, through the reed, he's not going to be Tamei because it's not a big enough shear, because it doesn't cover Pia Amma. Alright, so just going to Rav Huna, you don't even have to go to the Pasuk, right? The whole thing was going to the Pasuk about the Yotze Mimenu. You have to go back to the Pasuk. Rav Huna says, I don't even need the Pasuk. I know from the fact that it doesn't have a big enough shear. According to Rabba, maybe, according to Rabba, for someone who doesn't like Rav Huna, then maybe you have to figure out based on the Pasuk whether or not a Shifa Zera that pulled out through the Kesam is Tamei or not, because he doesn't hold this, because he'll hold that it's a Tumah of Re'iyah. The Tumah of Re'iyah doesn't require a shear.
That just doesn't make sense.
It could be more. Tosos asked that.
Right, so how
yeah, so I don't know. It's for more in-depth shear. I don't know. It's a good question. What does that mean? Just because you're putting in a reed, you can take up more. It just has to be pulled out
through
being slower. Yeah. Tosos asked that question. See if I can find it inside. It's in this big Tosa, so it's scary. So I didn't do it. Also because I was busy last night. All right. Ba'imineh. Okay. Fine. Right. Tosos Dibur Masko. Lememra, or Tios Dimas Vichasimas? Where is it? I just want to see the question of Tosos. I'll find it later. Okay. Yeah, the note here asks right away. So the Aruch Haner, I think, gives an answer to Rashi. He says that the Shichva Zera is only Metame as it leaves. So as it's leaving in a smaller amount because it's because when it's leaving, it's being part of it is being blocked by the. It's a chiddush to say that. See, part of it is being blocked by the reed. So what's coming out at each moment that it's exiting, what's exiting is smaller than, you know, Tosfos is just looking at the whole picture, and Rashi will be looking, according to Orchel Meir, Rashi will be looking out at each individual moment as it's coming out. It's not covering the hole because it's because the reed is inside. But maybe that's the possible answer. Good. See what else he says. I'm going to go with that for now. Does that make sense? Agreed. Agreed. Okay. Baimini Rav Yossi by Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Lazar. Rav Yossi asked the following question to Rabbi Lazar. Dam Yavesh. She expunges dry blood, right? A clogged dry blood. Mahu. Is that considered Tameh? Rashi says it's on the bottom. The last short line, Dam Yavesh. Kigon she yotza mikufa chaticha shel dam yavesh. A little piece from body comes out, this clump of dry blood. Is that considered tamei or not? As the pasuk says, it says v'isha ki yazov zov tumasa kemini dasa tiyetmei. So zov is a flow. This isn't a flow. This is just dry blood. It says ki yazov zov dama amarachmanon ademedav daivle until it flows out. This didn't flow out. Right, in Aramaic, the Dalet and the Zion mix, so that the Medav Dayev is the Mezav Zav, right? So Ad Medav Davle, which is Lach, which means it has to be moist, in Yavish Lo, but dry not. Odilmor, maybe you can say, Hai Ki Yazov Zov Dama, which says that blood flows out for her, that Lashon of Ziva that's mentioned is Orcha Demosi. The Torah is just talking about the normal way. The normal way is for blood to flow, not for it to come out as a dry piece. Ulolam Afilu Yavish Nami, even if it's dry also, it would still be Tamei. Right, Rashi says Zov Doma Mash Malach. Sure, ain't darkol a Zov El Lach. Only thing that flows is something moist. Solid piece doesn't flow. Only something moist, the liquidy, flows. So Gemara answers. Gemara says, wait a second. Amalei Tanitua. It's a Mishnah. It's gonna be a Mishnah Daf Nun Dalid. The Mishnah there says Dam Hanida, blood of Anida, Upusar Hames, and the flesh of a dead person. Mitamim, then Mitamim Taharos Lachim when they're moist. And Yavishim, and when they're dry. That's clear as day. It says when it's Yavish. He says, no, that Mishnah is talking about something else. That Mishnah is talking about when it came out moist and then dried. I'm talking about when it actually is coming out dry. He says, Amrolei, but I don't think anything, any blood that's coming out dry was moist before. And just maybe just dried up inside. I don't understand the Mitzvah. So Amrolei, the Nase Yavish, lo kami boile, something that was once moist and then became dry, that's not my question. Kimi Baile, what I'm asking is Yavish Meikara, that's originally dry. It came out, it was a dry place to begin with. Right? Rashi says, Lach v'nafa Yavish, Dokatani Mitamim Yavishin, with that mission over there, is Benafal Dam Lach ala Beged, it was moist, the Yivish, and then it dried up, the Acharkach Nogla Dam Bitaros, and then that blood touched something else, Dumyo di Yavish Basar Meis, because it's similar, it's parallel to the case of dry by the flesh. The flesh camp was moist and now it's dry. The Yavish Meikara Basar Hameis Leka. There's something that is dried originally, a piece of flesh, I guess, isn't dry right away, or whatever. So Shaila is something that's Yavish Meikara. So the Gemara says, Hanami Tanitua. That also is it's an explicit Mishnah. It's a Mishnah that we did yesterday. Now Mishnah says, Hamapeles Kimin Klipa. Someone who sort of miscarries or she gives birth to like a shell, kemin sa'ara, or hair, kemin afar, or dust, kemin yavchushin, adumim, these red pieces came out, tatilimayim, put it in the water, v'im nimochu, temeya, and if they sort of melt, what? If they melt, or if they soften, dissolve, then it's considered temeya. So you see over here that these dry things that come out from her are going to be considered tamei. Something dry, because once they dissolve, it's considered tamei. So Gemara says, Ihachi, if you're telling me that something that's dry is tameh, then why do you have to have it dissolve? Right? Biloni mochonami. It should be tameh even without dissolving. Gemara says, Amarava, kilonu mocho, ber bnei atzmi. No, the fact that it dissolves is what we prove that it's dam. If it doesn't dissolve, then it's something else. But we have to moisten it to prove that the dry thing that came out is dam. So therefore, you see, if dam something comes out dry, it's still going to be considered tame, provided it passes this the test.
We said it's only a question of how much time they'll be tame. Maybe we said just to determine what it is, but not it's definitely tame.
Right, but if let's say you put it in the water and it doesn't dissolve, then that's proof positive that it's not something that's tame.
We said that would be later.
I don't know.
Yeah, we said that. Okay.
I don't know. Okay. So right. So Amarabba Kilo Numocha. When these pieces don't dissolve in the water, we're going to say that it's a barrier of the Atzmihi. It's something else, and it's not going to be tame. Maybe it won't be tame to Nida. Maybe it'll be tame something else. Okay. And the Gemara says, "Umi ika kahai gavna." Can you actually even have the situation that the Mishnah finally someone asked the question? The Mishnah is going to ask the question. He actually has physically. Is this possible that she's going to miscarry? You know, bones and shells and things like that, and that things that come out from her body that aren't late. How's that going to happen? So the Gemara says, "And yeah, I have two cases. They went to the medical records and they found two cases. Vatanya v'braisa amar belazar b'rabbi tzadok shnei masim hela abba." Tivin liyavne. So two cases, I guess my father, which is Rav Tzadok, brought from the city of Tivin to the yeshiva in Yavne. Maisa be'isha shayim apeles kimin klipos adomus. She gave birth to these red shells. Ubo b'shalo was Abba, and I asked my father whether it's Tamei or not. V'abba shalo chachamim, and he asked the Tamei chachamim. And who did the chachamim ask? Marcel, v'chamim shalo l'ropim. They asked the doctors. Not sure they asked the doctors for psak, they want to know what the facts are. They asked the doctors. But Amr Lahem, and the doctor said to them, Isha zo maka yeshla betoch meyah, she has some sort of wound inside, shememena mapeles kemen klipos, it gives off these types of things, tati lemayim, so what they did is that they put it into the water, the imimochu temeya, and if dissolved, they would say it was temeya. It's possible. Veshuv maisa be'ishra yeshla mapeles kemen saros adomos, there was this woman who was giving birth to red hairs, I think. They asked my father, but on this whole sugya, this is one of the points where they talk about how much you can trust, you know, doctors. I think doctors doubt then are different now. Now there's more empirical evidence, and I think when it comes to a lot of these things, most of the rabbanim do spend time discussing with the doctors. You happen to have many very knowledgeable, you know, these reproductive, the doctors dealing in reproduction, very knowledgeable. Some of them are even rabbanim themselves. Because it's very sensitive stuff, like as Menachem mentioned the case yesterday. It's just sensitive issues that have to be dealt with appropriately. There's something, is like some sort of wound, I guess. What does he say the shuma is?
A wart. A mole.
Oh, so maybe that's what he says. Maybe it's a yabelis. Okay, so yabelis. Okay. Right, should be menama pelis kamin sa'aros adumas. That's where it's coming from. Tati lamayim, imnimochu tmeya. If it dissolves, it's tmeya. So it is possible. Okay. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, when we say to put it in water to check, to see if it dissolves, and if it doesn't dissolve, it's tahora, that bedika has to be done with poshrim, which I guess is lukewarm water, right? Lukewarm water. But if you put it in cold water and it doesn't dissolve, then that's not proof that it's not tahora, because maybe if you put it into this potion, this lukewarm water, it would dissolve. It has to be in lukewarm water. Tainam yehachi, tatlamayim potion, you have to put it in potion. Rishim Gamil Omer, he says, no, you don't have to put it in water to check it not. Elam akato berok, berok al gabi hatziporin. I guess you can check it with your spit and then scratching it with your fingernail. I think that's what he's saying. All right, is that how he translates it?
Make it what?
I don't know, how does he translate Mimacho Birok al Gabi et Siporin.
Squashes it in saliva and on the fingernail.
Yeah, so I thought you had to scratch it, I guess. I don't know. There's Amr, so my Benayu. So what's the difference between Tanakama and Shim Gamliel? I mean, what is the difference? The difference is how you, one says you do it in Poshrim, one says you do it with this rope. Okay, Amr Ravina, Miyuch al Yedea Dechak Ika Benayu. Their machlokus is whether you can force the issue, basically. Because with the fingernail, you can force the issue to make it dissolve. With the water, you just have to let it sit there. You can't force the issue. Okay. How much time? Hasam tanan kamahi shir yason. What's the time period? Biposhrim me'es la'es. There's a Mishnah later on, Daf Nadala, talks about a zov and all these ideas. I'm not exactly sure what the case is. It says that in order to figure out something over there, it has to be figured out. It has to be sitting in the water for 24 hours. So hachamai, what's the case here also? Miba'inam me'es la'es olo. Do you need 24 hours or not? So the Gemara says, the suffix is, sheretz u'nevela kushe Ba'ilim e'es le'es, for a sheretz and the vela, which is the case over there, which I'm not sure what the case is, since they're very hard, that needs to sit for 24 hours. About dam derakich, but dam which is softer, low, maybe you don't need 24 hours, maybe just enough to sit for a 12-hour period, one, maybe both need 24 hours, teku, as to what the halacha is, to put it for 24 hours or not. Okay, next, wild cases. Mapeles kemin dogim, she gives birth to miscarry something that looks like a fish, or chagovim, or shkatzim, v'ramasim. She's not tameya, the Mishnah said, unless it comes out with blood. But over here, v'liflog dami Rabbi Yehuda b'ha. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda argue here? So if you go back to our original, the Mishnah, he, in the beginning of the Mishnah, was when somebody was mapeles a chaticha, just a piece. So therefore we said, the Mishnah there also said, that it's tahora unless there's blood that comes out with it. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, even if there's no blood, it's metame, because he says, l'i efshar, the petichas kever below dam. It's impossible that the opening of the womb, there's no blood that comes out. So why doesn't he argue here also, by the fish case? I efshar below petichas arechem, without blood. Why does he argue here? So Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, Enoch Lam, he does. B'machlokash nuya, it's talking about, there is a machlokash, we already told his shita already, and the Rabbanan he. And this piece of the Mishnah is only talking about the Rabbanan. But we already know that Yehuda argues in these situations. We mention it once, we don't have to mention it again. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Yochanan says, no, afil tim Rabbi Yehuda. You can even say that this is going according to shita Rabbi Yehuda. In this case, for the fish case, he won't say that it's tamei. Why? Ad kan lokam Rabbi Yehuda hasam el gabi chaticha, the ave dam de korish v'havi chaticha. Aval berio lo have. He says no. Only by the chaticha, by a piece that comes out. If it's a piece, that's blood that's coming out. It must be that the rechem opened to have blood. Here, it's hard for me to say. Here, when you're giving birth to a creature, it could be that the rechem didn't open and there's no blood that came out. He said, but I don't know. When you give birth to something that looks like a creature, I guess maybe you would say that the rechem didn't open. I think that's what he was saying. Right, Rashi says, "Havi chaticha." The time of lav mishum peticha sakever. Maybe Rabbi Huda's reasoning is not because the womb opens below damhu ella bechaticha atzisirulei dahave dam. Maybe he holds that piece itself is actually blood. So that piece is actually blood. So therefore it's tamei. But when something comes out like a fish, it's not actually blood. So maybe it's not going to be tamei. All right. Well, lahach lishna the amar according to the mulashon that holds the amar Rabbi Yochanan beef shalom peticha sakever below dam kamiflegi. Right. Okay. Let me say it again. So I said that Rabbi Yehuda held that the reason why she's tummy in the first case of the Mishnah is it's impossible for the rechem to open without blood. But that was a machlokas. One mandomer said the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says that it's tummy is because the piece is actually blood. So he says if the piece is actually blood, the fish is not actually blood. But according to mandomer, says that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says it's tummy in the first case of the Mishnah is because it's efshar l'ptichas harechem without blood coming out. L'hach lishna the amr Rabbi Yochanan be efshar l'ptichas karim below dam kamiflegi. Liflog nam Rabbi Yehuda b'ha. Then Rabbi Yehuda should argue here as well. So the Gemara is manda masni hachlishna masni hachi. The one who learned over there the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says it's tummy is because it's impossible for the rechem to open without any blood. He's just saying you're right here. Also, he's going to have to say that Rabbi Yehuda says it's tummy. And Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish to Amri Tarvayu b'machlokas shnuya ukerabanahi. And then he's going to have to say that you're right. Rabbi Yehuda argues here as well. The Mishnah is just giving us the Shita of the Rabbanon because we already know the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so in Echanami, depending on what you hold, the reason Rabbi Yehuda says it's Tameh in the first case of the Mishnah, we'll have to explain the second case. If you say that Rabbi Yehuda holds the reason the first case of the Mishnah is because the Chaticha is considered blood, well maybe there it's considered blood, but here it's not considered blood. If you say the reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds Tameh in the first case of the Mishnah is because it's impossible that we didn't have the Petichas Arechem without any blood coming out with it, so too here it's the same case, and the Mishnah is only mentioned the Shita of the Rabbanan. Okay. Next, Hamapeles Kimin Behema. She's mapela, something that looks like a behema, a chayo, or an oaf. According to Rabbi Meir, she says that he's tamei tumas leida. And according to Chachamim, if she doesn't look a little bit like an adam, it's not considered leida. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, my time with Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir say that she's tamei tumas leida? Ho v'nemra bo yitzira ka adam. Because when it comes to behemas chayo oaf, it says Yitzira, just like it says Yitzira by the person. To go back to Maizah Bereishis, by Bria, it says Ve'yetzer Hashem Elokim in Adama Kol Chayis Hatzadev is called Ofshe B'Shamayim. So the behemoths, the chayis, know if it's considered a concept of Yitzira. And when it comes to Adam, it says Ve'yetzer Hashem Elokim as Adam Ofrim in Adama. So they're the same thing. Both, they both create the lashon of Yitzira, so therefore it's considered Adam, and therefore it'll be considered a birth, and therefore you'll be Tamei. The Gemara says, if that's the case, Elamayat, if that's the case, Hamapelas demus tanin. If you give birth to something that looks like a tanin, tanin with a big fish. So you give birth to something, Hamapelas demus tanin, te imo tamei leida. She should be tamei leida as well. Ho venemar bo Yitzira, ke Adam. Because it also says the lashon of Yitzira. Why? Because there it says, Vayivra Elohim es tataninim hagidolim. He says Vayivra, as opposed to Vayetzer. So the Gemara says, nah, come on. I'm only talking about the hekesh between the words Yitzira and Yitzira, not the word Yitzira or Bria. He says, Amri, Dunin Yitzira mi Yitzira, the ain't Dunin Bria mi Yitzira. So therefore, the Hemechai Ba'oth, which are Yitzira, is considered the Leda, but a tanin is not considered a Leda, because it's not Yitzira, it's Bria. So the Gemara answers, my nafkamina, what's the difference between Yitzira or Bria? Hat Tanin de Rabbi Shmuel, we have the Bryce Rabbi Shmuel, this is brought out every time. Every time we have a Gezer Shavu or Hekesh that doesn't have the exact words, we always bring up this Brisa of Tanit Rebbe Shmuel. It talks about V'shava Kohen of Baal Kohen, specifically by Mitzora. We learn it out because one pasuk says V'shava Kohen and one pasuk says V'baal Kohen. Even though one's Shav and one's Ba, we learn out from one each other. Because we say, he's Shiva, he Bia. It's the same thing. So Shiva and Bia, he's coming, he's going. It's the same thing. It depends on where your point of reference is. Is he coming or is he going? If you're coming somewhere, you're going from somewhere. So too, Bri Yitzir, it's the same thing. So the Gemara says, Va'od, and if that, and not only that, Nigmar Bria mi Bria. It also says Bria by Adam. Right? It says by Adam, it says Vayivra Elohim as Adam Bitzalmo. So you have Bria by Adam and Bria by Atanin. So therefore, if she gives birth to Atanin, she'd also have Tumas Leda, because it's the same thing as a person, because either Yitzira and Bria mean the same thing, and if they don't, I have Bria and Bria, both by Tanin and by Adam. So Gemara says, Amri, said in the yeshiva, and now this comes into talking about the ideas of Gzeir Shavas. So Gzeir Shavas, you have what's called Mufni. Mufni means that the word that you're learning from has no other reason to be there other than to teach you the Gzeir Shavas. It's extraneous. So Mufni means it's free. So if it's Mufni, it's much easier to learn the Gzeir Shavas. So Amri, they send the yeshiva Vayivra, where the pasuk that says Vayivra Elokim Esa Adam B'Tzalmo, that's Ligufe. That's needed for itself right then and there. Well, it's teaching me that Shem created the Adam. It's not free for a limud. It's not free. Vayitzer, but Vayitzer Elokim as Adam Ofrim in Adama, that's Lafnuyi. That's free. Why? Because she already told me that Hashem created the man. So what I already learned that from Vayivra. So what I need Vayitzer. Vayitzer is extra, therefore it's Mufni, it's free, and it can be learned, and therefore done in Yitzira mi Yitzira. So Yitzira is free, and therefore you can learn Gzeir Shava. But Bria by a person is not free, and you can't learn Gzeir Shava. The Gemara says, wait a second, why are you saying that? Adarava, say Vayetzer Legufe, Vayivra Lefnuye, V'donin Bria Mi Bria. You have two words. You have Vayetzer, you have Yitzira and Bria. One of them is extra, and one of them is extra, can be learned for Gzeir Shava. You're telling me that the Vayetzer is extra, therefore I can learn Gzeir Shava to Behemachai Ba'oth. Say the other way around. Say the word Bria is extra, and therefore learn Gzeir Shava to Tamin Gedolim. Why are you choosing one over the other? So he says, Ella, rather, Vayetzer is mufna mishnei tzadim. Tzadim, mufna gabi adam, the mufna gabi behema. He says Vayetzer is extraneous in both situations. Vayetzer is extra by person, and Vayetzer is extra by the tanin gedolim. As already says, the tanin gedolim are created. We'll see in a moment. So therefore, it's mufna mishnei tzadim. Both of them are mufna. But right, so he says Vayetzer mufna mishnei tzadim, mufna gabi adam, mufna gabi behema. But the word vayivra that says by adam, and the word vayivra that says by tanim. Gabe Adam Mufne. You're right. By people, it's extra. Gabe Taninim in a Mufne. But by the Taninim, it's not extra. Why? So my Mufne Gabe Behema. Why is, do we say that the word Vayetzer is free by Behema? E Lema Midiksiv, Vayas Elokim Eschayas Haaretz, Uksiv Vayetzer Hashem Elokim and Adam Kol Chayas Asada, Tanin. Gabe tani nami ufne mufne. Dixiv es kol remes adam. Dixiv vayivra elokim es tani gedolim. Why is it extra by behema? Because we say that there are two places where it talks about creating the animals. Number one, it says vayas elokim es chayas haaretz lemina, and then it says vayetzer. So it says vayas, so vayetzer is free. Well, if that's the case, by the tanin also it should be free. Because why would the tanin not be included in where it says ves kol remes adama? It says all the remes, and the remes apparently includes the tanim, and then says vayivra elokim es tanim agedolim. So vayivra is also free. It's all extra because they're including other psukim. So the Gemara says remech deksiv hasam the yaboshahu. No, the remes is remes ha'adama. It's only the land animals. It doesn't mention, not talking about the tanim, which is a sea animal. So when it says vayivra elokim es tanim hagedolim, that word vayivra is not extra. That's just actually teaching me that Hashem created the tanim gedolim. It wasn't included in any other of the creations. So umay nafgemina ben mufna mitzad echad lemufna mishnei tzad adadim. So now, what's the difference whether you have a gzeira shava that's free on both sides or free on one side? Again, free on both sides means the words that I'm using are extraneous on both sides, and both psukim. Free on one side means one of the words is extraneous. So nafgemina, the difference is the amar Rabbi Yehuda, amar Shmuel, mishum Rabbi Shmuel. But what Rabbi Shmuel says, he says there are three different types of gzeira shavas. Okay, number one. Kol gzeira shava she'ena mufne kol ikar ein lemedim hemena. Anytime you have a gzeira shava that's not mufne at all, you can't learn it. Meaning, if I have a word in pasuk aleph and a word in pasuk yadalit, it's the same exact word, but the words are needed in their place to teach you something there. They're not extra. Neither of them are extra. No gzeira shava. There is no gzeira shava at all. Number two, mufne mitzad echad. If it's only one of the words is extra, mufne mitzad echad. The Rabbi Yishmael, the maiden, the aim yeshivan. According to Rabbi Yishmael, that's a full-fledged gzeira shava. You can't even ask any logical questions on it. It's full-fledged gzeira shava. But the Rabbanon, the maiden umeshivan. You can learn the gzeira shava, but if someone has a kash on it that can knock out the gzeira shava, maybe you can knock out the gzeira shava. It's not fully protected gzeira shava. But mufne mishneit stadion, if both words are extraneous on both sides of the gzeira shava, then the divrei akol, the maiden aim yeshivan, then that's just a full-fledged gzeira shava. No matter how many kashas you have on it, it doesn't make a difference. That's a full-fledged gzeira shava. So we'll just say, so Rabbi Shmuel, my ikah ben mufne mitzad echad lemufne mishneit stadion. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he said that a gzeira shava that's only mufne from one side, that's full-fledged, you can't ask. So what's the difference between a gzeira shava that's mufne on one side and a gzeira shava that's mufne on two sides? So he says, nafgamino, the difference is, deheicha de ikah mufne mitzad echad, umufne mishneit stadion, shavkin and mufne mitzad echad, v'yafinon, he says, if you had the choice of choosing a gzeira shava that's mufne on one side or a gzeira shava that's mufne on two sides, you obviously choose the one that's mufne on two sides.
But isn't gzeira shava a lot more than sinan? It is.
Yeah, you have to have a mesorah for it.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
I hear.
So I don't understand the discussion. I mean, either
it is or it isn't, you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right.
They lost. Who lost?
They lost the mesorah. Maybe.
So it's giving you a
guideline. Is in the parsha of being a gzeira shava. All right, we're in the middle here, but we're going to stop at 7 o'clock. Okay, let's stop here. Have a good day.